wonderful. Today we have one of the Lord's greatest parables and stories that he tells the Pharisees. It's from St. Luke chapter 16. When we take a look at this very powerful story, notice that the Lord is speaking to the Pharisees. And as Scripture says, the Pharisees, you know, were the religious leaders of the day, but they were very greedy, they were very avarice, they were, as one of the Gospels says, they loved money, they were so attached to their money. And one of the philosophies among the scribes and the Pharisees is that if you were well off and had money, then God looked favorably on you. If you were poor and destitute, then somehow you were cursed by God and you were not a friend of God. So it was almost like the gospel of prosperity 2,000 years ago. You hear it on TV nowadays. Oh, just love God, love Jesus, and you'll be wealthy and happy and everything. That was their philosophy back then. That if you had lots of lands and cattle and lots of money, then you were, you know, in good relationship with God. If you were poor and destitute, you must have done something wrong and God was displeased with you. Well, Jesus turns that upside down. He says that's not the case. That is not how it works in the eyes of God. A rich person like this man, who is so entirely self-centered and selfish, was very displeasing in the eyes of God. Where Lazarus, so poor and destitute, was a friend of God, so pleasing to Almighty God. So when you look at the details of this story, a couple interesting points is that it's the only story the Lord ever taught where he actually gives a person a name. And he doesn't name the rich man. He's obscure. We don't know his name. But he names the poor man. He names Lazarus. And the word Lazarus means the one who God helps. That's what the word means in Aramaic. The one whom God helps. Whereas you would think it'd just be the opposite, and the Pharisees would think that the most important one was the rich man, who we would certainly know his name, and this beggar, why would we want to know his name? But Jesus says, you know, it's just the opposite. And so we don't know this rich man's name, but we do know, it says, he dressed in purple garments and fine linen. And I always wonder, why does the church always give us this reading during Lent when I'm the only one wearing purple garments? I can't believe the church always does that to us priests every year. Because he's dressed in purple garments. Now, to get purple dye in those days, that was the most expensive dye. That was the most rare. It came, I think, from China or from some part of the Far East. So this man was very wealthy, multimillionaire probably. Because he had this incredible, these purple garments, which made of the finest, the rarest dyes. And it says fine linens as well, maybe Egyptian linens. And he dined sumptuously each day. So in other words, he had a feast every day. It wasn't just on the big, high, holy days that he feasted. He feasted every day. So you see the kind of person this is. Now, it wasn't his wealth that condemns him. It's his selfishness that condemns him. Because there are many wealthy people in the Bible that become, you know, great saints. Abraham was fabulously wealthy, and we know that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, I mean, there were many that had wealth that used it for the Lord. So it wasn't his wealth that condemned him, it was his complete self-centeredness and selfishness. And the fact that he wouldn't even send a servant out with leftovers to give to Lazarus at the gate. And Lazarus, it says, was on the outside looking in. He sees all the scraps that fall from the rich man's table. No one offered him anything. What's also interesting about this is that these are what's called sins of omission. See, the rich man never, let's say, went out to and beat him or deliberately hurt him. He just neglected him. Okay, so he didn't do anything cruel to Lazarus. He just didn't do anything nice for Lazarus or anything good to Lazarus. And Lazarus was certainly willing just to eat the scraps from the rich man's table. It says dogs would even come and lick his sores. And that, again, shows that Lazarus is at the lowest point. Because for the Jews, these kind of street dogs, the wild dogs, would be considered unclean. And therefore, Lazarus was covered with sores. He was like Job. The dogs would lick his wounds. So he was as low as you could get in the eyes of the Jewish people. And yet, they both die. So death is the great equalizer. They both die, and they both are buried, but now the roles are reversed. Lazarus is carried by the angels to the bosom of Abraham to be with God, to be with the great saints, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now the rich man is tormented in flames. Hades, the scripture says, hell would refer to. And so now that's just the opposite. Now Lazarus is in the family of God. He's at the banquet of God in heaven. And the rich man is outside the gate, looking at a distance, looking, and he sees Abraham and Lazarus. And so he says, please send Lazarus as a messenger to dip his finger in water to cool my tongue. I'm tormented in these flames. And Abraham replies, during your life, you were blessed. You had all the luxuries. Lazarus had nothing good. He received what was bad, but now he's comforted in the kingdom of God. You're tormented, separated from God in hell. And between us is a great chasm, and no one can cross either direction. Well, then what's interesting, of course, Jesus then says that the rich man does have concern for his brothers. He says, my brothers are living in just the same way I did. Please tell Lazarus to go back from the dead, and then these men will not be so hard of heart, and maybe they'll be converted. And Abraham, of course, says, now they have the scriptures. They know what God wants them to do. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. And, of course, the rich man says, no, that's not going to be enough. But if somebody came back from the dead, that will get them to repent. And of course, you have to see that the Lord would raise a man named Lazarus from the dead. And still, most of the people, the religious leaders, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes, remained hard-hearted and would not convert, even though they saw a man named Lazarus come back from the dead. And then lastly, Jesus himself would come back from the dead. And Abraham says, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead. So the Lord is not only referring to Lazarus, that he would raise from the dead after 4 days, but he's referring, of course, to himself, the resurrection. The Lord was put to death on Good Friday, but he was raised from the dead on Easter Sunday. And even with that evidence of the resurrection, so many people remained hard of heart. And the religious leaders, they even bribed the guards to say that Jesus was not risen from the dead. That's how hard of heart they are. So again, what we should take from today's gospel and these powerful readings is to be careful not to fall into sins of omission. We do have to treat the poor with generosity to help them in their need. Again, it wasn't his wealth that condemned him. It was his total selfishness that condemned the rich man. And so what a great message this is during Lent, because one of the key teachings of Lent is almsgiving, helping those in need.